Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is in Studio X making sure everything works right. Apparently my camera doesn't want to work right. There we go. Don't want you guys seeing, you know, behind the curtain. It's like the Wizard of Oz up in here. We are presented by Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. If you are looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle right now in North Mississippi, Dossett Big Four, that's the place to shop. Visit them at 628 South Closter Street. Or check them out online, DossettBig4.com. 47 years they've been serving their community. They know a thing or two about how to get you in the car you want to be in. If you want to join the show, do it on the C Spire text line. It's been a busy few days on the C Spire text line. 601-879-4395. Let's start with actual football, shall we? We'll leave the legalities and the lawsuits. We'll save that for a little later. I want to talk some actual football. I told you guys last week that one of the things that has caught my attention is that when I talk to people about what's going on at practice, your guy has some sources every now and then. Or when we just talk to Lebby or whoever, that the offensive line has stayed the same basically throughout spring in terms of who's been the first team guys. And it's McVay, Chester, Boone, Prudhomme, Shumpert Perkins. From left to right. I have heard conflicting reports on who's at left tackle and who's at right tackle. Some days I hear McVay, some days I hear Shumpert Perkins. I think it's McVay at this point. I've heard it more often than not, but that's what I've heard. And I, you know, like I said, that's something I think is noteworthy for Mississippi State, that they seem to have found and settled on five starting offensive linemen, and they've been working those guys with the ones, and there hasn't been a constant state of flux of moving guys around, and you know, we're not sure who the left tackle, the right tackle is going to be, even going into the first game. It feels like that's the starting lineup, unless you're starting five. And I was looking for an old post of mine on the Mississippi State On Three message board, and I found from State's scrimmage, when State, remember, State did not do a spring game. They did a basically like a scrimmage. And on that day, my friend Paul Jones was not in the press box that day and needed somebody to run his message board's live thread. And I was like, you know what? I'm here. I'll do that for him. And one of the things I found was, here is the offensive line from left to right. McVay, Chester, Boone, Prudhomme, Shumpert Perkins. So now I'm able to go back even further and say that in the spring even, this was the offensive line. These were your starting five. They've had the same offensive starting five from the spring practices into the fall camp, preseason camp, whatever Jeff Lebby wants to call it. And it looks like going into week one, that's the way it's going to be. I'm going to take that as a big positive if I'm a Mississippi State fan. I'm going to take that as State has been able early in the process to identify the guys who give them the best starting five. Now, we asked Lebby last week at the press conference about that. And he said that they're not quite to that 8 or 9 spot that they'd like to be at, where you have almost two full offensive lines. But at least you've got three to four guys who you can bring in and you know, rotate in and out, and you're not falling off the map in terms of what you're putting out there from a talent perspective. Said he wasn't quite there yet. That maybe, you know, closer to 7. So still need to find a couple more guys. I think at least one of those 7 guys is Blake Steen. I think he is kind of the swing guard, swing tackle guy. I'll give you guys another name, and I don't know if you've heard this name. If you follow Mississippi high school recruiting, you would have. But I'm going to give you a name that I've heard pop up a couple of times, and that's Dalton Toothman, high schooler from Van Cleve High School. Isn't Van Cleve where Kevin Fant coaches? But he was a three-star recruit in this past class and has come in, and it looks like he's going to be a guy who can play this season for Mississippi State as a true freshman, make a real contribution. So maybe he's one of those guys. Beyond that, you know, is it going to be Tyler Miller, the transfer from LSU, who's originally from Laurel? Could it be maybe Saquon Miles, the junior college player from Hines, who was the nation's number one JUCO offensive lineman a season ago, redshirted, and now he's good to go? I don't know. But that's where State is. The fact that that finding that post really made me think, like, wow, you know, this time a year ago, we were hearing, you know, different groups are running with the offensive line, and Albert Reese is being moved from right tackle to left tackle, and Blake Steen's playing left tackle and right tackle, and they haven't really settled on who the guards are going to be, and it was just a mess. This year, it appears like, starting going all the way back to you know, April and May, that they've been able to identify these guys. And look, make no mistake, we've talked about it over and over and over again on this show, on Sports Talk Mississippi, on the podcast. What Mississippi State does on the offensive line is the single greatest indicator of their success this year. If you tell me that offensive line is good, this team will be good. Simple as that. If they can block for Kamario Taylor, if they can provide the push to run the football, this team is going to be good. Because I know defensively they're going to be better. I didn't say good, I said better. Because I believe in Zach Arnett. I believe in the talent they've added to that side of the ball. I think they've got, you know, three or four or five potential NFL guys in the starting lineup. Certainly Kelly Jones is an NFL guy. Isaac Smith can be an NFL guy. Will Whitson can be an NFL guy. I think Zachary Tillman and Tyler Lockhart can be NFL guys. And you sort of go from there. I think, you know, down the road, Braylon Womack can be one. He's got the talent to do it. But this offensive line is the single greatest indicator. And don't forget, after the week one game with ULM, State plays the best pass rusher in the Big Ten and the best pass rusher in the SEC in back-to-back weeks, with Anthony Smith at Minnesota and Dylan Stewart at South Carolina. So I've been saying it for the past 3 or 4 months. Week one for Mississippi State, if that offensive line doesn't show up, if Kamario Taylor is feeling pressure against ULM, if State can't run the football successfully against ULM, mark it down. It's going to be a long year. But if they are able to do those things, there you go. Brian, I'm going to start gassing. If you're going to start gassing up this old line, I'm about to convince myself we win 8 or 9. Why you got to do this to me 1 week before the season starts? Hey, man, I'm just here to tell you what I tell you. All right? I report, you decide. Isn't that what they say? I'm just telling you, like, finding that post, which was an incredible coincidence. I wasn't looking for that. I just happened to, like, look back through that thread, and seeing that made me go, huh. Just a little, something like that. So I'm not trying to gas you up. Again, take the approach that I'm taking, guys. Let's watch this first game together. Let's all just sit here, like, set the expectations to factory settings. 6-6 is where I'm at right now. And, you know, let's watch the first game together. And then we'll come on to the post game show. You'll log onto YouTube. You'll watch the post game show with me from the press box, and we can make some bigger sweeping decisions from that point. Let's do that together. That's what I think we need to do. But I understand. When do we get your season prediction? Well, I mean, if you listen to the podcast, you've gotten it. Revealed the media poll on Friday, and revealed did the game by game on Tuesday's podcast. We can do it. We can come back and do that, though. I'll be happy to go. We'll go game by game. State needs to cover the first game. 100% agree. John and Pontotoc, 100% agree. I've seen a 28.5. I think it's climbing. Yeah. They should win that game something like 45-10. They really should. All right. ULM is terrible. They are one of the worst teams in the country. You should beat them mercilessly. If you don't, that is, if the final score of that game is something like 38-17, that's a red flag. No doubt about it in my head. They need to be able to dominate that game from start to finish and go from there. If they don't, that's a problem. Yeah, look, if it's like 45-10 with a minute left and ULM just, you know, crazy play, say throw it deep, they score, I can't get too plussed about that, I guess. But it should be one of those games where you look at the box score and you're like, wow, State controlled that game. 500 yards of offense on one side, less than 200 on the other. State with multiple sacks, State forcing turnovers, ULM not doing the same. What's the yards per carry? That's a big stat for me in this game. Should be well over 5. Something like that. If I'm on YouTube at 10 next Saturday after we've won 63-0, I'm going to be really feeling myself. Me and you both. We might talk ourselves into some things at that point. But let's do that. Let's save that for next Saturday. All right. It's been asked for. I got it right here. This is my my game-by-game prediction for Mississippi State. We'll go through it when we come back. Let's do that. What do I think the Bulldogs are going to do in 2026? You think it's going to be an 8-win thing? Just go ahead and brace yourself. It's not going to be. We'll do that when we come back. Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
My name is Whitney Allen.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Mississippi, I'm Brian Haydad. With you on a Wednesday evening, we are presented by Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. All right, we got the request here on the C Spire text line. They want my season prediction. First off, like I said, I'm a little disappointed. It's been available for the past few days on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed. Please subscribe, rate, review, 5 stars. Say whatever you want in the comments. Don't care. 5 stars. Is that fair enough? I think it is. Let's go through it game by game. Obviously, I think they're going to win the first game. I think they'll win it easily. I think we were all going to be thinking the same things after the first one. Easy win. Beat ULM. I got them 2-0. I got them beating Minnesota. I just think athletically this team is just it'll be similar. You remember Joe Moorhead's first year when they went to Kansas State? Now, that team had Jeff Simmons and Montez Sweat on the D-line, and they had Elton Jenkins, Deion Calhoun. They just had superior athletes. And I think that's the case here. Now, Anthony Smith will have, you know, we'll see how that goes. But I just think State out athletes them. I don't think that Minnesota has what it takes to stop Kamario Taylor for 4 quarters. So I got the Bulldogs winning that one. 2-0. 2-1. I got them losing at South Carolina. Look, I will say, you know, South Carolina is one of the games that I got State losing. But they could win. But on the road in the SEC, I just feel like, you know, I just don't think State's going to win that. But look, that's a game. I wouldn't say it's a coin toss, but it's closer to 50-50 than it is to a sure thing South Carolina wins. I got them starting 3-1. I got them winning the next week at home against Missouri, ending that long SEC home losing streak that they're going through right now. I got State 3-1. Not bad. But then, the month of October, I mean, I can't sit here with you on August the 26th and tell you that with any confidence, I think State's going to beat Alabama, beat LSU, beat Oklahoma, beat Texas. Now, I will make a promise to you. And I made this promise last year, and I kept this promise. It didn't do us any good in the end, but I made the promise, and I kept it. Promises made, promises kept here on Thunder and Lightning. If State is 4-0 when they play Alabama, I will predict State to win that game. I will tell you to your face that I think State will beat Alabama. Don't Don't care what Alabama's record is. If State's 4-0, I will predict them to beat Alabama. I was really close last year. I said if State was 4-0, I'll predict them to beat Tennessee. And in reality, we all think that they probably should have beaten Tennessee, but they didn't. If State's 4-0 this year, that's a lot different than last year's 4-0. Last year's 4-0 was Southern Mississippi, Arizona State, Alcorn, and Northern Illinois. This year's 4-0 would be ULM at Minnesota, at South Carolina, Missouri. That's a different kind of 4-0. I would feel really good about State's chances to beat Alabama. But as it is, entering the month of November, I have State 3-5. And that's going to suck. There's no getting around it, right? You're 3-1, you feel like maybe things are going your way. Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, Texas, these are all college football playoff contenders. Probably at least two of those teams will be in the college football playoff. It's possible all four of them could be. But I got State losing all those. I had State starting the month off strong in November, beating Vanderbilt and beating Auburn. I think State has a great chance to win those games. I'm not big on Vanderbilt. I just don't. I just think that was an all-Pavia thing. And then I've said it a few times now with Auburn. I like where they're going with Alex Golish, but I don't like them this year. Do you really expect South Carolina to be that improved? I feel good about that one. I think Kendall Briles being the offensive coordinator with Lenora Sellers, we all saw what Kendall Briles is able to do with K.J. Jefferson. And I like K.J., but Lenora Sellers is more talented than him. Dylan Stewart is one of the best pass rushers in the country. State's going to have to block him, and it's on the road. So do I expect them to be that improved? They don't have to be that improved. They just have to be a little better than Mississippi State. State's the team that has to be improved. So do I think Mississippi State is that much better to win a road SEC game? I don't. Let us not forget that Jeff Lebby is 1-15 in conference play. It's tough for me to sit here and just, on August 26th, not having seen anything, tell you, I think they're going to go to South Carolina and win. Obviously, State beating Tennessee Tech, so 6-5 playing the Egg Bowl. Again, what day is it? It's August 26th. I can't sit here and tell you with any real confidence that I think Mississippi State is going to beat Ole Miss. Now, it's the Egg Bowl. Crazy things have happened. The worst Mississippi State team played the best Ole Miss team 2 years ago in Oxford and was in that game late. Could it happen? Sure. Do I think it's going to happen? If you told me today I had to put money on it just to pick the winner, I would pick Ole Miss. So I've got State going 6-6. I feel like they have an opportunity to be 7-5. And I've said this before, if everything clicks for State, if they get the best case scenario, if they get a team where Kamario Taylor reaches his ceiling, which is high, if the offensive line is good, not just average, not just better, good, and the defense is good, well then you could be a team that finds its way into beating South Carolina very easily. And then of those other five games, you could easily win one of them, maybe even two. If I told you right now, yes, Kamario Taylor by the end of the season is one of the top three quarterbacks in the SEC, that State's offensive line was top half of the SEC in sacks allowed, if Mississippi State was top half of the SEC in rushing yards, and they were top half of the SEC in defense, and I told you they would go, if I just asked you, what's their record, knowing all that, what's their record? You'd say something like 8-4. You might go into the 9-win range. So it's possible. The problem with State is the unknowns. We just don't know. We have to see these games. I can't sit here with confidence today looking at that and tell you that Mississippi State's definitely going to beat South Carolina. So Mississippi State's definitely going to upset one of those teams in October. Mississippi State's definitely going to beat Ole Miss at the end of the year. They're certainly capable of it if things go the way we want. And so the question I have is, what happens if it's 6-6? 6-6 with a third straight Egg Bowl loss. You're on the C-Spire text line. You let me know. What do you think? Jeff Lebby here another year? You improved by one game. You won three SEC games in that season. But you lost. But, you know, you're 6-6. Your record after 3 years as the head coach at Mississippi State is 11. No, that's not right. You're 12-24 as Mississippi State's head coach. You haven't had a winning season. You haven't beaten Ole Miss. You guys tell me. Would there be a fourth year for Jeff Lebby at that point? At 7-5, it doesn't matter what happens. You're back for another year. Although I said this on the show the podcast the other day. That 7-5 with an Egg Bowl loss would sting. If you went to Oxford 7-4, you would really think you had a chance to win and maybe break through, and to lose to them a third straight year would be painful. But 7-5, there's no question Zach Jeff Lebby's back for year four. But at 6-6, you know, 6-6 with the wins that I gave you. 6-6 when you're beating ULM, Minnesota, Missouri, Vanderbilt, Auburn, Tennessee Tech. Those are your six wins. What are you doing? If we want to have a serious football program, if the coach cannot do it this year, we need a new coach, and we need to get serious and get a true head football coach, not a coordinator. I totally agree with that. If State decides to make a move at the end of this year, they absolutely need to go get a proven head coach. They cannot afford to do that again. Just give me Mullen head coach and Lebby OC. I don't care if you have to pay them $12 million combined. That wouldn't happen. Levy's not staying on to call plays under Dan Mullen. Defense could help you get six games this year. We got to give him another year to see if he can get 8 or 9. Okay? So Andy says 6-6, stick around. Six wins, he stays. All right? No, I really hope he does well, and I don't want to go through another head coach that starts to look bad for the program. I think he stays at 6-6. Okay? I think it would be an incredibly difficult decision. You have improved, and look, don't underestimate this thought process that people are going to say. They're going to say, you know, if State was only playing 8 conference games, they would have gone 7-5. Because that other conference game would have been against a MAC team or another Sun Belt team or a Conference USA team. It was scheduled to be Troy. But now it's Alabama. You swapped out a game with Troy for a game with Alabama. That's what happened in this scenario. People will use that as their logic, so I don't know. I don't know the answer. All right. When we come back, we do have to talk about this, these legalities and such. But don't worry, I have an expert in the field coming in. Don't you worry about that. So when we come back, we'll talk about everything that's happening kind of off the field, in the courtroom kind of situation. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi with you here on a Wednesday. If you want to join the show, do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. We'll be right back.
On Super Talk Mississippi. Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I was not prepared for all of this.
Hear ye, hear ye. All rise. The Honorable,
let me get back in here. Where am I going?
The Honorable Brian Haydad presiding.
There we go. I look fantastic. I would have made a great Revolutionary War. I would have been a hanging judge, though. I would have been. The Honorable Brian Haydad presiding.
Brian the barrister.
Yes. Sir Brian, of the quick noose, I guess, back in the day. Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. you happen to move the wick, it's going to slay me. I'm not sure I can handle it. All right. So we've been talking about it for weeks. Now we finally have some sort of a situation here with Jerron Manning and Malik Sylla. They have filed for a temporary restraining order in the Ocotepawha County Chancery Court based on everything that we know about these cases, these lawsuits. They're going to win. So I expect at this point, I expect Jerron Manning and I expect Malik Sylla to be Mississippi State football players this upcoming season. Their situation is completely different from what's going on at LSU, where you're talking about former NFL guys coming in, guys who signed NFL contracts, who went through training camps. Neither one of these guys did that. Manning got a undrafted free agent tryout, but was never on a roster. I think that's the word I'm looking for. That's the defining moment here is were they on a roster at any point? And for Manning, the answer is no. Sylla never got any kind of NFL tryout whatsoever. And so the thing I've been saying for the past few weeks is, you know, if State is going to let these guys practice, then they must feel pretty confident in their ability to get eligible. And you knew it wasn't going to be that the NCAA just up and said, hey, you guys are good to go. There was always going to be a lawsuit for Mississippi State. I think we could lose it now. That was good stuff, though. Thank you, Rhino. So, you know, now you wait. Judge Hang'em High. Guilty! I've been like the guy on Main Justice. And eat the spiciest bowl of jambalaya you ever did see. I think this will be done pretty quickly, you know. They'll probably have it, you know, because it's not, I don't think there's much of a hearing, right? You ask, lawyers, if you're listening, by all means, hit me up on the C-Spire text line, 601-879-4395. But if you're asking for an injunction, you know, do you have to have a court case for that? Do you just kind of file the brief and the judge overlooks it and says yes or no? Or do you have to go through the whole thing? I don't know the answer to that. Right, because I don't think this is like what happened with Trinidad, where they were like, because you're asking for something. I don't know. I'm not gonna sit here and try to tell you that I know. What I think is that week one you're gonna see Jerron Manning and Malik Sylla on the field for Mississippi State. And look, just from a football perspective, that adds a lot for Mississippi State. Manning coming into that secondary, he played really well for State last year. State's secondary is really good. Like, really good. Like, it is the easily the strength of the team. You got a potential first rounder there in Kelly Jones. You got another guy who I think will play on Sundays in Isaac Smith. You got a ton of SEC experience. If you add Jerron Manning back to the mix, that's the strength of the team by far. And then Malik Sylla, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about this guy State added in just a minute, but that outside linebacker, that jack position, that pass rusher position under Zach Arnett, State needs help there. And so getting him in will help State a lot, I think. You know, this is a guy who was your leading guy for tackles for a loss last year. Had 7.5 tackles for a loss. Somebody who can be disruptive, you're going to take that. I don't know if it's worth a win. Like, are these two guys, is their war going to be high enough that they're worth an extra win? I don't know, but they do not hurt to have on the roster from that position. Now, I have enjoyed all of the bluster from the Ole Miss fans. Oh, now you guys are going to court. I mean, I think we can all agree this is a little different. Can we agree on that? I don't. We probably can't agree if we're being totally honest, but we're just gonna have to agree to disagree. It's just a different situation. These are guys that, I mean, let's just be honest with it, right? They should be. The NCAA screwed the pooch on this. They should have announced they were doing this 5-for-5 thing back in January. Then everybody who jumped into the NFL draft or who thought their eligibility had run out could have just stayed another year. And then when they did do it, you know, a month ago, they should have just said, hey, we're giving a blanket waiver to the 22 class because they didn't know, and that's not their fault. They couldn't predict the future. I get that. But in this NCAA, as they are wont to do, they were incompetent. Some of what, you know, Borky, who, by the way, do you guys notice that, like, Michael Borky was completely tuned out of me the last 30 minutes of that show. He was just reading the Jeff Landry statement. But what Landry was saying is, when he says, don't hate the player, hate the game, I actually say that on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast. You'll hear me say it. He's kind of right. It's not LSU's fault. It's not Mississippi State's fault. It's not Ole Miss's fault. It's the NCAA's fault for all of this. all of this that's happened that has forced this, all of these things to happen in college football is because of the arrogance and the ineptitude of the NCAA. Because they decided that they weren't going to give up a single red cent of their money to these players, and they were going to kind of, they were going to try to limit the movement of non-employees, which you and I, if you're in any kind of business, you know you can't do. And they were just basically like, ah, well, who's going to do anything about it? And then when somebody did something about it, this inept, corrupt, disorganized, flailing organization decided to reach out to the only organization that's more inept, more corrupt, more unorganized, and more flailing than them, the United States Congress. More on cross in the morning. And that's how we ended up here. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they both not fall into the pit? That's what's happened. So, I hate it, but Landry has a point. Now, I don't agree with the whole that the two things I'm not, you're never going to get me to agree on. I'm never going to agree that these players are professional players until there are steps to make them employees. Right? There's some kind of weird hybrid right now. They are getting paid to play, but they're not employees. So they're not professionals. They're still college football players. There are still academic requirements. It may be that Lenore Sellers is at South Carolina driving around the golf course all day as part of his class requirements, but he's got to do something. So you're not going to get me to agree on that. And then the other side of it, you're just not going to get me to agree that these NFL guys can come back. I'm sorry, I can't be bought into that. I wasn't bought into it with Bediako when the NBA thing, and I'm not bought into it now. It really does like something about it bothers me, like on a physical level. Like, you're a high school football player. What is your goal? I want to play in the NFL. Okay, you're in the NFL. I'm going to go back to college for a year. I can make more money there. What? I just can't get my head around that. I just can't. I understand money's money. I really do. But if you could make an NFL roster, why would you not want to be in the NFL? Because I'll be honest with you, if I'm an NFL team now and I see Daquan Wright, he's like, wait a minute, this guy convinced his team to cut him so he could go back to college. Why would I want a guy like that on my team? I think he hurt his chances of ever being a pro football player. Personally, I could be wrong. The NFL does their own thing, but it seems like that. And you know, the NFL released a statement today, and they're trying to figure it out. And I do agree with Borky on that, that the NFL is not going to allow players to just go back and forth like this. There's going to be a, once you come here, you stay here, or you stay gone kind of thing. I think that's what's going to happen. But you can't backslide for money. That has to be the line. I think once you sign on the dotted line a pro contract, a NFL, NBA, MLB, whatever, MLS, I don't care. What is there, a pro volleyball league? Whatever it is. Once you sign that, that's it. That's the end of your days as a college athlete. I think that's just the way that it has to be. And I think, you know, look, do I know what's going to happen as a result of all these random lawsuits and, you know, what the NCAA is doing, the SEC is doing? I don't know the answers, guys. I don't have the answers. And at the end of the day, when we get to the actual games, I'll really stop caring. All I care about is watching the games and enjoying them. Who's on whose team? Whatever. Worry about that another day. We'll wrap it up when we come back. Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
For a flipping good time.
And Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
All right, let's wrap it up here on a Wednesday. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. We got let me pull up this email here because we have a programming note. If you're a Mississippi State fan, you may have noticed that Mississippi State has got dog talk on Wednesdays. Apparently, Ole Miss is doing the same, and they're going to have rep talk on Wednesdays as well. So this is what we're going to do. This is starting next week. I will still do this show live as normal, starting at 6 o'clock, going 6 to 7. It'll only be available on WKBB here in Starkville. We run Dog Talk in the studio next door over at WLZA. So if you are using the Super Talk app, you go to WKBB. You can listen to your Super Talk Golden Triangle. You can listen to that there. Also, it'll be available on Super Talk TV if you want to watch there. What we're going to do, though, is from 7 to 8, we're just going to replay the show. So after Dog Talk and after Rep Talk, you can just, if you're still listening to Super Talk, Thunder and Lightning Live will be on Wednesdays. So live show 6 to 7, the 7 to 8 show will be a replay, and you can just listen if you missed it there. And, of course, it's always available on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed, commercial-free as well. So just want to let you guys know what's going on next week. So if you come in next week and you listen, hey, Dad, move to 7 o'clock, let me text him. I'm not going to answer. I will not be here. Like Magic Johnson, just be like, I ain't going to be there. So just giving you guys a heads up, though, of what's happening. We have talked a lot on this show, on Sports Talk, and about, of course, on Thunder and Lightning podcast, about uniforms, about logos. I have fought this battle now for, it feels like, forever. And we may have finally done it, guys. I feel like it's done. That Mississippi State putting out that video yesterday that the interlocking MSU helmet is going to be the one for this entire football season. What a journey. That's how I feel about that. You know, you had so many people who were, you know, adamant, oh, this will never change. Oh, first off, Nike owns that logo. As if Nike gives a toss about Mississippi State's helmet. They spent money on that? That's what I'm supposed to believe? Imbeciles. But then it became, well, they're never going to change it. It's always going to be the banner. And then the strip skate came out, and I really liked that logo. And they're like, well, that's going to be it. And I was like, ah, well. And then they gave us a taste with that 98 uniform. I was like, oh, that was the worst thing they could have done as far as this debate goes. Went on for another year, but now we're at the point where that's it. And I think this is a great example of Zach Selman just listening to his fans. I've said this many times before. When it comes to the uniforms and the logos, you have some fans that care very deeply and some fans that don't care at all. But you can't market to the fans that don't care at all because they don't care. You can just put the team in whatever, and they're like, I don't care. As long as they win, I show up. That's fine. There are some people who care very deeply. And the people who cared the most in this debate were the people who wanted the interlocking. Believe it, this will be my first live show. Been a podcaster since the start. No one cares about Reb Talk, Hail State. Well, the Ole Miss fans care. You must, if you live in a Super Talk Ole Miss area, there you go. Jersey's next. Miss State. I wouldn't go Miss State. I don't think I appreciate the old school. I do. But Miss State, I bet they just go State. If they do anything, just say State. I wouldn't be against that. I do agree they got to spruce up the jerseys. But the fact that they haven't announced anything yet for that leads me to believe they're probably not going to. I think we got another year of the same jersey. But we got to take one battle at a time, all right? You know, we get one thing. We can't have everything at once. We're just not that lucky. But that's fine. This was the bigger battle for sure. No one cares about dog talk. See, there you go. There you go. But you're listening to this. I got you. You might care a little bit. State script on the jersey. Like, I don't think you could do a big state script. I think you could do like a little one on right underneath the collar. I don't know, though. I would like to see an upgraded jersey, but I'm just happy right now with the helmet. But here's what I want to take away from that. Don't ever let anybody tell you. If you're passionate about something, don't ever let anybody tell you to shut up. All right? Assuming what you're passionate about is legal. If you're passionate about, you know, drinking and driving, I would advise you not to do that. That's something maybe not to be passionate about. But if you're passionate about something that's totally legal, Be passionate about it. And you know, you find other people who share that vision with you, and you can change anything. You know, there will always be people who doubt. There will always be people who tell you to be quiet. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Do what you want. And you can change things. I'm a Super Talk guy. Happy year all around. Bringing the Interlock back. That is Mississippi State. I don't know if I'm I don't know if we're the ones bringing it. Mississippi State's bringing it back, but you know. Appreciate you listening out there. I appreciate all of my Rebel listeners. I appreciate Rhino. He's once again done it. Really appreciate him on the judge thing. That was his idea all the way. I think it's hilarious. We'll put it out on social media a little later. Talk to you guys tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi. We're only a few days away from the start of college football season. Enjoy it. We're getting closer and closer every day. For Rhino, I'm Hey Dad. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.